Log is the science one of the group, but apparently your brain, the right side of your brain works the left side of your body, and the left side of your brain works the right side of the body, and it happened on the right side of my head. So after that, I did not know that there was a left side to my body. And through physical therapy, my dad and my mom had to tickle my left hand and my left foot for me to realize, okay, I do have a left side to my body. I didn't know this. I mean, I think Pops told me a year ago or so maybe that had happened. So growing up, I always struggled doing things with my left side, and I always thought it's my non-dominant side. So what, you know? I can do things with my right hand, I can't do things with my left. That's just life. Working as a mechanic now, it just seems even more difficult because, you know, you're trying to reach into a headliner and I'm all awkward angled and whatnot. So, but at that point, I don't know left from right, but God knew from the start that I was going to be here talking to you guys right now. So, but a year later, they pronounced to my dad that I was a miracle child, there was no other reason for me to be alive than that God wanted me to be. And as I was growing up, I didn't think hide nor tail of the fact that God saved my life for a purpose. I just thought 10% is better than 0%. You know, I failed, but I didn't get a zero. At least I showed up. So, I didn't really think all that much about it. And going through high school and whatnot, we can't come to church when we were younger, but I honestly don't remember it. So I'm sure it was when I was very little. But as I was getting into junior year, a girl was trying to get us to come to church. She was talking and she was saying, oh, hey, you should come to my youth group on Sunday night. We're doing this, we're doing that, trying to get us to come to church. And eventually we broke down, went with her a little bit. And honestly, I pretty much slept through most of the sermons. I mean, not very proud of that one, but hey, at least I'm honest. And then once we graduated, that kind of just fell away, didn't really do all that much. Then I started going to Brockport, and there was really, other than Pops who had continued or began to come back to church, other than that, there was really no God knocking, trying to get me to, I didn't realize God knocking, trying to get me to come to him. And throughout seeing Pops come to church, sometimes I would say, oh, I should get up in the morning, I should come to church. And for whatever reason, my 21 or 20-year-old mind thought it was a better idea to stay up till 2, 3 in the morning playing video games and sleep in till noon, or even later sometimes. But what is really cool is now that I know God, I realize that he had been talking to me. I just didn't realize it. And, I remember in the back of my mind, I would, I was thinking I should come to church. But was it really me? Was it me telling me that I should come to church? Or was it God reaching out and saying, hey, I'm longing for a relationship with you, like he always does with all of us, because he loves all of us. So that was key to me, and that pointed out to me. And then moving on with the me getting to church part, because, I'm 23. I hadn't started coming to church till I was 21. 21, the drinking age. And I decided to come to church. I was 21, and I started working at Toyota Batavia when I was 20. And a little bit after I started working there, there was a service writer who he was kind of an arrogant guy. I didn't really think too much about him. But at some point, we started talking about faith and talking about God. And in my infinite wisdom, I said, you know, oh, I believe God. I believe in God, and I believe what Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe what he did. That's good enough. I don't need to come to church. You know, I got the bases covered. I'm fine. And I kind of decided I was just gonna make up my morals based off of that, which that is not the way to go. But I talked to him, and he ended up giving me a packet and some Bible verses and stuff that I looked at the day he handed it to me, and after that, I honestly don't know where it went. So, again, and he would always talk about how he was the model Christian. He was, you know, somebody you should look up to. Yeah, very arrogant, like I said. You know, later in the weeks, you'd see him doing things that, you know, a Christian shouldn't be doing. You'd be going out drinking, driving, like heavy drinking, to the point where it was like, you know, he's losing cars, just like bad. And he was dabbling in other illegal things. And in my very infant mind of spirituality, I said, you don't love God. You love yourself. You're doing what you want. And through my coming to church in the past 3 years or 4 years, I've realized it's not necessarily that he didn't love God. It was the fact that he needed somebody. He did love God. He just needed somebody to help him get back on track. It wasn't, you know, yes, he may not be a model Christian, but that doesn't make him not a Christian. Just because I didn't think he was doesn't mean he wasn't. But then, further down the line, about during the summertime of that year, we enjoy playing Ultimate Frisbee in the dark with light-up stuff, so you can actually see the people and whatnot. And it was the last one of the year. My sister wanted to take a picture and to remember the time, and she put it on Facebook, and then that was a Saturday. Sunday, I come home, Pops comes home from church after he's doing whatever he was doing. I mean, he usually came home around 2, whatever. And he said, you know, you'd never guess what happened at church today. And, you know, of course, I have no idea what he's talking about. So I'm like, you're right. I have no idea. Let me know. So he goes, that picture that's on Facebook caught the eye of a certain young lady. And naturally, me being the single guy that I am, I said, oh, really? What's her name? And you know, in this day and age, you find somebody's name, you find, you know, they're interested, you got to Facebook creep. You can't not Facebook creep. You got to see what they're all about. So you do a little Facebook creeping, and you're like, you know what? I might talk to her. So it all started with just a simple little Facebook friend request, and she accepted the friend request, and we talked for a little bit, and she asked about some questions about I asked her some questions about the church, and reality, I wasn't really asking about the church, because if I really wanted to know about the church, I could just come to church, or I could ask my dad. I just wanted to talk to her. And long story short, she ended up being my lovely, beautiful wife, who's sitting behind Gary right now. And but in the short tier period of time that we've been together, and just that I've known her, she has been a very big inspiration in my faith, and she helps keep me strong in all of my keep me going and whatnot. So, but through this, there's a couple parables in the Bible, and it is one is Luke 15:5-13. It says, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock on the door and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to one who knocks, the door will open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? Or will, if he asks for an egg, give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? That speaks more of God, you knocking on God's door, trying to talk to him and be with him. And in order to get to that point, you need to realize that he's knocking on your door. As it was said in Revelation 3:20, for behold, I stand at the door and knock, and those who receive me shall, I don't know exactly what it says. I'll be honest, I didn't 100% memorize it. But it's along those lines, and once you let him into your life and realize the long-suffering mercies that God has for you. Because, I mean, I didn't start coming to church till I was 21. And look at me now. I'm standing in front of you guys talking, leading the youth. You know, I wouldn't think that I'm leading the youth. I don't feel like I know all that much, but it's just amazing what God can do with your life, even more than you realize if you just let him in. And through all this, I've realized you can wear the jersey, but that doesn't mean you're on the team. And once you let them in and you decide that you want to serve, it's just very easy to just start serving, because it's just, you see all the good and all the impact that you have on somebody else's life. I mean, look at what a simple friend request did to me. 3 years ago, I would not say that I was going to be standing in a church in front of a bunch of people. So I find that just amazing that if he just continues to ask and just continues to knock, and if you let him in, he'll do amazing things for you. And on the other side of the coin, with this parable, when you start knocking on the door, just remember, as it says in verse 5, that persistent friend just continues knocking and knocking until he finally says, you know, leave me alone. And in that situation, not that he's going to leave you alone, because God will never leave you or forsake you, but you will begin to knock on his door, and he will just flood your life with endless mercy, and it'll just, it's amazing. So, all right, Lizzie. Está aquí, por favor. Got you some water.
Yeah, I still write my notes down. Imagine that.
Well, this is almost not bad.
Okay, so this is what it looks like from up here. All right, so almost all of you know me. I think that's fair to say. But I don't know how many of you know that I really love art. It's one of my favorite hobbies. I'm a pretty artistic person. I love drawing and painting and pretty much any medium that I can get my hands onto. But one of my very favorite things to do is pottery. I love pottery and I love clay because you really get to feel the creation that you're making, and you get to watch it from, you know, just it becoming from this little ball of clay to whatever your imagination can come up with. And so that's why today I wanted to talk a little bit about the story of the potter and the clay. And I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with that. So I'll just give you guys a second to get out your Bibles if you want to. I don't know. Okay, so I'm just going to start reading. It says, oh, I'm sorry. This is like the first time I've done this. So. It's Jeremiah 18, and I'm just going to read Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. It says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot that he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him." And this is the important part. "Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, 'Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand.'" And God has revealed a lot to me about change through this verse. You see, relating to change, I think we are a lot like clay. Yes, I just compared us to clay. Just bear with me. You see, when we first come to Christ, we kind of resemble a brand new ball of clay. It's like a saved ball of clay, but a ball of clay. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with being like that. But with God, there is so much potential to become so much more. And just try to, like, imagine going from, you know, this little nondescript, I was going to bring one with me, but I forgot. This little nondescript, like, gray ball of clay into the most beautiful piece of pottery that you can imagine. And with God, we can become these beautiful creations that are living for him. But the problem is that getting from point A to point B is by no means a walk in the park. And in fact, sometimes it can be really, really tough. And I think that's why a lot of us, me included, are sometimes so afraid of change, even when that change is directed by God. Because you see, change is hard. It's new, it's scary, it's different. And I think oftentimes we're afraid to fail. We're afraid that we're not going to be able to do it the right way. And God will reveal to all of us things that we need to change, I think specifically in the beginning, but it never stops. We all have to continue working on ourselves. And no matter what, it's very personal to each and every one of us, whether it's a behavior, a way of thinking, people that you're hanging out with, a path that you're going on. And I think sometimes that we recognize that there's an issue. We know that there's something. God's pointed it out to us, and we say, okay, God, I see it. And we start to give it to God. Like, we're almost there, and we're saying, okay, God, you can start to look at this, and you can start to help me out with this. And we're almost there. We almost got it, but there comes that fear again. I'm scared. This is too new. It's too hard. It would be so much easier just to be the way I was before. And I think when we get scared like that is when we try to take back the control from God. We say, okay, God, this is too much. This is too fast. I need the control back. Give me the reins. I got this. And that's when we revert back to the old behavior. And this, to me, seems a lot like when you have taken a piece of clay and you've molded it into whatever shape you want it to be, but it's not ready to go into the kiln yet. It's not ready to get fired. Because before a vessel or, you know, a piece of pottery is fired, it has to be bone dry, which basically just means that all the water is out of it. But it's a pretty long process. It's not overnight, and it's, you know, sometimes can take a little while. And the thing is that this is when the piece of pottery is at its weakest point. It's most fragile at this point. And I think it's pretty crazy that right before this piece is the strongest that it's ever going to be, is at its weakest point. And I think that says something right there. But you know what happens sometimes when this piece of pottery is at its weakest point? Take a guess. It breaks. Yeah. But here's the good news, guys. Here's the really, really good news. Our God is the King of healing brokenness. Amen. He is the King of healing brokenness. There are countless places in the Word, I mean, just countless places, where it talks about God healing the sick, healing the broken. You know, Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit." You know, there's the story of the woman who was, you know, ailing for years and nothing worked, and she just touched his robe and she was healed immaculately all of a sudden. And, you know, another one is Psalm 147:3. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." I mean, really, I could just go on and on and on with examples, but the Word is really clear about that. God is here to heal the broken. And actually, Jeremy told me about this really cool form of Japanese pottery called kintsugi, and I could totally be butchering that, so I apologize. But the reason, I think it's a really good analogy of God's love and the way he heals our brokenness, because in this form of pottery, when a piece breaks, instead of just throwing it away, cleaning it up, and going and buying a new piece, which would be much easier, they actually take all of the broken pieces, they put them back together, and they fill in the cracks with gold. So not only does this change make the pieces usually a lot prettier and more beautiful, it also makes them much stronger. And I think that's a lot like us after God puts our broken pieces back together. Okay, so we know that God can and will put our broken pieces back together when we need him to. But what about when the piece of pottery is ready to go in the kiln? What about when it's time for us to go through the fire? Now, unfortunately, this is the really tough part, because I wish I could get up here and say to all of you that, oh, your lives are all going to be great and you're never going to go through any hard times. But that's just, like, not real. That doesn't happen. We all go through times of fire. We've all been there. We've all had hard times. But the thing that's really important to remember is that it hurts God to see us go through these hard times. He doesn't enjoy seeing us in pain. And even though it might not be obvious to us at first, there's always a reason why he makes us go through these hard times. You see, if a piece of pottery didn't go into the kiln, it would always be at its weakest point. It would never be able to become a beautiful piece of artwork. And I think that a lot of us, when we go through these really hard times, it's when we learn the most important lessons. And it's also when the most real changes happen. Because you see, the key from getting from your weakest point to becoming a beautiful creation in Christ is when we're in those really hard times of pressure and we just can't do it anymore. And we say, okay, God, it's yours. You have it. It's 120% yours. I can't do this anymore. Because unfortunately, the truth of it is that we can't do this by ourselves. We can't go, you know, through these hard times and bear it all by ourselves. And that's what he's there for. He wants to take this off of you, but you have to let him. We do have free will, and if you want to just, you know, go through this hard time by yourself, he's not gonna force you to follow him, but he wants you to, and he wants us to let go of control and let him take on the hard things. So that's the real point. The key is getting from one point to, you know, the finishing point is letting God do the work in you. So the key notes that I just, like, wanted everyone to take away from this was that God sees so much potential in each and every one of us. He sees way more in every single one of us than we ever see in ourselves, you know? And the second one is that God loves us even when we fail. Even when we mess up, God still loves us. That doesn't change the way he thinks about us. And he will hold us in his hand when we go through those times of failing. And the third one is sometimes God lets us go through the fire, but he's right there with us in the fire when we go through those times. And finally, to be molded like the clay in this story, we have to trust that God knows what he's doing. We have to trust that he is the creator of the universe and he has the best plan for us, better than anything we could come up with by ourselves. So, that's that. Okay, so now Jeremy is going to come up and talk for a little while.
A little while is right. I think it's just amazing how God works. Can you hear me? Okay. I think it's amazing how God works. Like today, I thought the messages were going to connect a little bit, but then they started speaking and they're connecting so much, it's crazy. Today I want to talk about the amazing works that we sometimes look over. And I'm going to be talking to two types of people today, and those are Christians that have been in the faith for a long time and maybe they're looking over the things God has done for them. And there's also another call for people who are just coming to the faith and maybe need to go through these times. So before I went to Elam Bible Institute or the college, whatever you want to call it, I was in school for carpentry, and I really love woodwork. I love it so much. If you give me like the tools, I could work for days on end without stopping. And that reminded me of God, because he too delights in his handiwork. And Psalms 127 starts out, and do you have the slide? Unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So this to me reminds me that without our God, the actual true God who works on us, everything that we do is just pointless. This is a very ecclesiastical psalm to me, at least the starting of it. God is our only God. And he's the only God in the universe, and he's the only one that could work on us. And without him, it's useless, and we won't stay. And I'm really grateful for the things God does. But like I said, I think that sometimes we look over the things he's done. If I were to look at where I started and where I am now, it would be a huge difference. But I don't see it as much as I want to, and I think that happens to a lot of us. We don't see the huge change that has gone on in our lives while following Jesus. And this reminded me of carpentry, because, like I said, I love carpentry, and God, Jesus himself became a carpenter because, well, we're the best. So I have three questions I want to ask. Who here is where they want to be with the Lord? Exactly where you want to be. Like, there's nothing about you that you think could change. Yeah, I didn't think so. Who here knows that they can be better? Yeah, so do I. And who here struggles to understand, like I did, that we have changed so much? See, you might not see a lot of change, but there is a lot of change. I did this carpentry, and in school, I made this amazing chessboard out of, and I have the woods down. It was soft maple, walnut, and there was a cherry frame. And if I were to sell this thing back then, I could have made hundreds of dollars, because it was just awesome and beautiful, and I loved it. I worked so hard on it. I spent hours delighting in this thing, and I sanded for hours, and I planed it a million times and sanded more. And it reminds me so much of how God works on us and how much he changes us. But then where it is now is it's sitting in my room, and it's warped, and the frame broke off. And that's because I decided this thing's so beautiful, I don't want to seal it. I don't want to put a coat of seal or anything on there, because it's going to change the color even a little bit. I love it where it's at. And this is the message for the people who are new in the faith. Perhaps you're new in the faith, and like, you've done this whole Jesus thing, and I need water, for a while. You've been going to church, and God's doing the work. Like, you know that you're saved, and it's amazing. But if we don't get sealed by Christ, we're going to warp, and we're going to not last. Just like that verse said, unless the Lord builds the house, the labor is in vain. The hours and hours that I spent making that chessboard, most beautiful thing that I've ever seen in my life, were all in vain, and it has crumbled up. I no longer have that frame. It's just a warped board in my room. And that's exactly what it's like when we come to Jesus and we don't stay in him. We don't come to him every single day. We don't give ourselves over to him. Like Jay was saying, when he first came to Christ, when he first came to Christ, he was like, he didn't really come to church. He was just falling asleep in it. It didn't make a huge, big difference to him. Like, to me, that means he wasn't really talking to the leaders or the elders or anything like that. So I want to talk about Philippians chapter 2, where Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. And what I believe Paul is saying there is, you know, I told you about Jesus. You came to faith because you figured that out, that he is the true God. And then Apollos, he was your pastor. He was the one that led you in Christ. But God did all the work. And maybe we're not seeing the work that God did, but God is doing so much work, and he calls us to go to these people like Apollos so that we can get this growth, which is all from him. So what I'm saying today is, like, we've all heard the gospel. We know that we're saved from sin and death by Jesus' sacrifice. When he resurrected, it was proof that we too will have eternal life in glory. And God is working on us, just like I worked on that chessboard. I spent hours. He was sanding down those things, just like clay. He's making it perfect and better, and he's spending hours, and he delights in his handiwork, just like I loved that chessboard so much. But if we do not give ourselves fully over to Christ and get sealed, then we're just going to fall apart. And again, the labor would be in vain. So again, this is for those people who maybe haven't fully given themselves over to Christ. I really want you to maybe talk to the pastor and the elders here. Because I think it's so important for us to have leadership in our lives. Because we can know who God is, just like he said, like, oh, God is good. I know what Jesus did. I give my life, that's good enough for me. But the fact of the matter is, like, we need to be sealed. And our salvation doesn't come from having a pastor and all that. But our walk gets so much better, and we get so much stronger in Christ for having that. We get so much more ready for the fires to come when we have someone to mentor, someone to talk to us, someone to really give us insight on what it's like to be a Christian for a long period of time. After Elam, one of the most exciting things for me is I'm going to be discipled by my pastor back at home. And to me, it just means, like, I'm going to be more ready for the work I have to do. Like, I could preach right now, but I'm not where I want to be fully with the Lord. And after years and years of that discipling, I will be so much more closer. And that's what I desire for everyone here, is that they can grow closer to the Lord, and that's what the Lord desires. So, you know, maybe he's working in your life, and maybe you are beautiful, and you're in a great place. But, like, so are a lot of unsaved people. There are a lot of people that are doing better than some Christians. Like, they have a really great life, but they're not sealed by Jesus. So they're just going to fall apart, whether that means eternally with what happens after this life or later on in their life. It's just not going to last. The labor is in vain. So there's no better person really to send this microphone to than Pastor Jack. And I had to do this a lot faster than I wanted to, but yeah, a lot faster. But yeah, here it is.
Hey, I think those were three pretty amazing people right there. I want to ask, I want to ask the Elam team if you guys would come up, if Josh and Logan would come up here, make yourself available. And come on. Yeah, you. Lizzie, you earned a spot up here today. Come on up here. I don't know how, I mean, I just was jotting down just a few key points. Maybe you can hear the sound of God knocking on the door of your heart, and you want someone to pray with you and say, I want to open my heart. Help me open my heart and let him really be king of my life. Maybe there's a request you have that you just feel overwhelmed by. Like, I can't even get the faith up to pray about this anymore. I'm so discouraged. And God wants to put a faith in you to pray with that shameless audacity to knock on God's door in the middle of the night if you have to. But you need some fresh encouragement and faith. Maybe that would be where you're at. Maybe you feel like I'm clay, but I haven't let the potter have his way in my life. There's some things I've resisted, and you just want to say, Lori, would you come up and just play? And I just want someone to pray with me, and I want to let this potter shape me into what he wants me to be instead of fighting this anymore. And I think of the potential God has in each of you, as Lizzie shared, and that God loves you even when you fail. Maybe you feel like you failed, and you've been broken. You're the piece of clay that got hard and then broke, and you need God to put some things back together. He's with you, and he would love to do that for you. Maybe you're the person who's tried to build some things in your own will and your own strength, and you recognize, you know, unless the Lord builds the house, I'm trying so hard, and it's not working for me. I'd love him to build it for me. Why don't you guys just spread out a little more? I know you're kind of afraid, but you don't have to cling to each other. You know what? They really had to step outside their comfort zone today, these young people. None of them were in like their niche, like this is something they've done since they were a little kid. You know, this was all out of their comfort zone. And let it be an encouragement to all of us that we can step outside our comfort zone and God can use us. Amen? So let's just stand together. And if any of those points spoke to you in a way that you just feel like, I want somebody to pray, come up and let one or two of these folks just join you and pray with you. I don't want you to leave today carrying any of those things out the door with you. Father, I thank you for your words. Thank you for these who have blessed us today and prepared and worked so hard to have something to give. But more importantly, their lives, Lord, out of their lives speak volumes to us about the joy of trusting you and stepping out of our comfort zone. There's a joy in it, and they illustrated it today. And even in their nervousness, Lord, they surrendered and they trusted. Lord, we want to be people who will trust you even when we're nervous about it. Even when it's scary and new, as someone said. Change would be scary and new, but I'm ready to let God change me and take me into the new. Lord, we want to be that clay in your hands today. Father, we just surrender a fresh way. Come on, just come on up out of your seats and let one of these folks pray with you today. New life, new grace, new grace. Thank you, Lord, for taking our doubts and then replacing them with faith, taking our uncertainty, giving us assurance. taking our brokenness and healing us. Hallelujah. Right over here, Mary. Thank you, Lord. Praise for what he's doing in your life, for what he's done today. We give him thanks. Amen. Amen. We're going to just let this area up here be a place of ministry, a place of prayer. If you'd like to, there's refreshments, coffee, and juice in the lobby. You can stay as long as you like, fellowship, encourage one another. It's good to see you today in the house of the Lord. God bless you.